This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
ENN on this day is brought to you by our friends at Sloman's. I'd like to start off, if I can and will, by saying good evening to Michael.
Cheeto dust finger idiots!
Good evening to Don.
I had a Datsun. Tree fell on it.
Good True evening story. To Michael.
Somebody's hurt. Mwah.
And good evening to myself.
I barely know Jay-Z. I'm not Andrew.
I mean, come on.
That was underrated great.
Well, he's a friend.
No. What you said, underrated great.
Oh, I love this guy.
I got to tell you guys, I had an underrated terrible thing happen today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, this is, by the way, I'm joking. This is a first world problem. It's not a big deal. But tell me if this happened to you before. I imagine you're both radio guys, and it has to have happened. I met a delightful gentleman today at a restaurant that I frequent to order healthy meals from, right? Like your regular weekday healthy stuff. And I went and picked it up. And when I went to get it, he like looked at the receipt and looked at me and was like, "You're Peter Rosenberg." I said, "I am." He said, "I knew it. I knew when you order from here that had to be you." And he says to his coworker, I told you that. And she makes this face of like, and I've gotten this so many times. She makes this face where she like looks confused. And then she just looks at me and says, I'm sorry. I don't know who you are. And I never know how to respond to that. I didn't expect you to. I said to her, "Don't worry, I couldn't tell you what your hobbies are." But it's a very strange. Why doesn't the person just fake it? Just fake it. When the person walks away, you go, "Who is that yo-yo?"
Well, it's funny you bring it up. It's always been an issue, and I think that the people that do it are jerks. So a guy could be with his wife. Oh, this is Michael Kay. Who are you? I don't know. I mean, who acts like that? Who are you? I don't know.
It happens all.
Hello?
I mean, get a little manners. You don't have to say a word. You know what? They don't pay you by the word. Shut up. If you don't know who I am, then don't say anything. Who are you? I don't know. And the husband's embarrassed too.
It is. By the way, anyone listening, I'm sure there are people who've been through this where their partner did it. I know the person's not intentionally being mean. I think it's maybe, Don, tell me what you think. Maybe it's a little bit of like they feel embarrassed, like they should know, so they don't know what to say, and then sheepishly say, "Sorry, I don't know you." But it's like, why would I expect that everyone right. I meet sees me and goes, "Well, that's Peter Rosenberg."
Right. I didn't walk up to the woman and say, "Do you know me?"
I know.
I didn't initiate this contact, so just shut your trap.
It's so true.
It's so awkward. I'm going to say it next time, too. I'm going to go, "You know what? Shut your trap."
Nobody asked you, lady. I didn't come up and say, "Do you know me?" Yeah. Then you can embarrass me. I've never been one of those guys, if there's a line outside and I go, "Do you know who I am?" Nobody should know who I am. I don't expect anybody to know who I am. But when your husband initiated the interaction and, "I don't know who you are. Who are you?" And you know what I always say? I'm nobody.
And by the way,
I am nobody.
But by the way, think about it like this. This is how I look at it. If Natalie got very excited to see someone and introduced me, and I'm standing, the person's right in front of us, so like the whole thing is in sight of the person, and she's like, "Oh my God, this is so-and-so, blah, blah." I would assume just like, oh, well, A, this is someone she cares about. Maybe it's someone that's like useful for her, like a connection, something that someone that could further her. Like, let me just be polite. That just seems like the default move. But anyways, she didn't mean anything by it, but it was just awkward. Patrick,
and also the guy said, I knew it was you. I mean, you leave your name, Peter Rosenberg. So he's a regular Dick Tracy.
Well,
well, there could be. I bet there's more than one Peter Rosenberg in New York.
I don't think so. You're the only one.
Thank you. Let's
the only one that's healthy.
Let's hear from Patrick Beverly on the NBA Today earlier. We played the clip yesterday of him talking about his excitement, and I mentioned that on Instagram he really went off and was cursing out the Clippers. Here's Beverly on the NBA Today talking about the emotion of beating the Clippers.
I wouldn't say emotion, I'd say passion. And I know you three for sure, you guys understand. It's so much more than a business than what it really is. You all understand that. When you give your heart and soul to a team, and you know, you took a team to a place that they'd never been, the Western Conference Finals, it's not anything to rain on the Clippers or anything. It's all about the Minnesota Timberwolves. But it just feels good. You know, it just feels good, man. It really does.
Come on, Pat. Don't back off of it. We know exactly what it was. I truly believe he would have rather beaten them than had the Timberwolves win anything. He's the Michael K player of the NBA.
Why?
Not a great team player?
Well, no, I didn't
Thanks,
say
buddy.
That. I did not.
Well, what
say.
Are you suggesting?
No, the retribution. The only thing that matters
the laminated
is the vindictiveness. The laminated list. Moving forward, let's talk a little Brooklyn Nets, shall we?
Yeah.
They have a series coming up against the Boston Celtics. By the way, Michael, I just want to let you know I'm attempting to go to a game there. I'm attempting to go to the first game in Brooklyn.
How are you making that attempt?
I'd rather not say it publicly, but you'd have a good idea.
Interesting.
But I'm gonna find my way into that building.
Yeah,
and by the way,
well, one of the ways you'll find in is not by paying.
No. I resemble that remark. Let's speaking of said Nets, let's hear from Steve Nash, who says he doesn't expect Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, it's up to Ben's back. You know, it's not up to me or any of us other than his back and how we can help that resolve. Great, but there's a chance Ben comes back. There's a chance he doesn't come back. So I think for us, we got to focus on the group, support Ben and his, you know, journey to get back on the floor. But at the same time, we don't have time to lose focus on the group that's playing. And Ben's a franchise cornerstone. But right now, it's about supporting him physically and mentally to get back on the floor and coaching the group to put its best foot forward in the first few games of the series, at least. But, I mean, there's no – we're not – we – it – internally, we're not sitting here saying Ben's returning in this series. We'll see what happens.
But there are people reporting that he is coming back.
And, I mean, he's putting up posts on social media that sort of seem like a tease. Here's KD on how big it would be to get Simmons back.
I'm not even thinking about that. I mean, we all know what type of player Ben is, and you can put together scenarios in your mind on your own or what it would look like, but I'm not going to go there because we're just taking a day at a time.
KD is easing nicely into this leadership role, I think, guys.
I mean, you've noticed that recently, right?
Yeah.
He did with Brown the other day with the bulletin board fodder.
Now, he seems to be owning it. I mean, and also people, one of the slept-on stories this year, I feel like, guys, was the fact that KD extended. Like, this is going to be his team. I mean, I don't know if he'll finish his career here, but he definitely could. And he seems to be sort of owning the role. Here's Jay Will on KJM earlier on the possibility of Simmons coming back.
I don't understand, because why would you bring a guy back in the middle of a playoff series for his first time ever playing with teammates? It's completely disruptive to the way Kyrie, KD, everybody has to adjust to this new style, and all the eyeballs will be on Ben about will he be in attack mode, what will be his mental state of mind. I'm not one that subscribes to this whole notion that, oh, Ben Simmons comes back, now all of a sudden they're going to win a championship.
I agree with him. I don't get it. And if they bring him in late, Udoko was a coach with the Sixers 2 years ago. He knows Ben Simmons better than anybody. That's the Celtic coach.
That's right.
And they will foul him and put him on the line with the game on the line. What are you doing? And he has no chemistry at all with his teammates.
I don't see how it's going to work. Unless they get lucky and they blow the Celtics out the first couple of games, maybe they're up 3-0, you can bring him in. You know, in a game 4 where you've got the series already wrapped up, he's got to ease in. And to have him come in meaningful games here, I just can't see it working. I think you can get him hurt, even worse. And I don't think they're going to go up 3-0. But you never know.
Tell you what, though.
The best way to do it, Don, if they jump out to a lead.
So many nice storylines, though, I got to tell you.
I hope you get to go to the game, and I hope you get a really good seat so you're seen on camera.
And I hope that they show you on the Jumbotron. From Hot 97 and The Fan.
I'd like you to know that's been fixed.
Oh, they did fix it.
They did.
Oh, that long national nightmare is now over.
I know. It lasted a long time, believe me. There was a lot of apologizing, but it's since been fixed. It's been remedied. I still have a job here.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Don, why don't you tell us about Capo Caco?
Yeah, third game back, couple of goals. As the Rangers win 4-0 over the Flyers. Get 2 points back at Carolina for first place. But he was out 32 games, guys. And he said he felt his best last night, scores 2 goals. So, listen, if he can start being the player that they thought he was going to be when they drafted him 2nd overall, it's a nice little addition here down the stretch and for the playoffs.
Do you want to hear from Coach Gallant?
Gallant.
Or Gallant.
Wait, what did we settle on?
Gallant.
Come on.
I'm not even going to be mad at you for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you shouldn't even correct me, though, because everyone else was saying it wrong, too. I mean, let's just let it be. I pronounce his name Gerard Gallant.
I like it.
His thoughts on Kako's game.
Yeah, he was excellent. He drove the net. The line was excellent. They made some real good plays, and they played the way they're supposed to play. They created some good offense down low, and I thought they were the most consistent line all night for us.
That second goal was nice. Nice feed from Hedl.
Don, what's the first day of the playoffs?
That would be May 2nd. Now, whether the Rangers play on that day or not, we'll have to wait and see. I'm going to a game.
I'm going to go to a game.
Really?
If my schedule allows, I will go to a game. Because, Don, you know why, right?
Because you're an event guy.
I'm an event guy.
He is an event guy. Yeah, I get that sometimes. I'm an event guy. Don calls me an event guy.
Well, I mean, I think the NHL playoffs are fun. And you're looking at probably Pittsburgh, maybe Washington. Washington's only 3 points back of the Penguins with 2 games in hand.
Either way,
that's gorgeous. Crosby or Ovechkin.
Yeah, in New York getting booed constantly. It'll be a thing. You guys want to hear – you're not going to believe this. You want to hear more from Leon Rose? Not audio, but words that he said?
Yeah.
That's right. He spoke words on
I love
Thursday.
Those are my favorite kind.
Yeah, yeah. To the Knicks faithful, quote, the 21-22 season did not end the way we would have liked, but it will serve as an integral learning experience for our team. When I arrived at this organization just over 2 years ago, I shared with you my commitment to building a winning, hardworking group worthy of your support while emphasizing player and team development. These commitments remain true to this day, and I am particularly proud of the growth, improvement, and fight of our young core this season. We currently have 9 players 24 years of age or younger and 8 players who are still on their first contracts. We recognize this team build will be a steady climb, but there are real examples of progress and success, especially from our young core, that we can acknowledge and celebrate.
Where did he say this?
This was a statement. A written statement to Knicks season ticket holders.
Oh, so this was almost a letter.
That's right.
Well, I think, you got something wrong, Peter. I'm trying to correct you. He only speaks to Mike Breen, so he dictated that letter
that's
to Mike
right.
Breen,
and Mike
who then
it.
Sent it along to the season ticket holders.
That's right. I like, though, Leon Rose saw the LeBron James statement when LeBron said the Lakers season wasn't a disappointment. Was like, hey, if LeBron could say that, what could I say? This season was great. Huge success.
In other words, it's all part of the process.
I mean, listen, there's some truth in it, right? There is some truth about the youth of this team and some of the progress that we saw this year. But I feel like the fan base might have appreciated some more honesty about the disappointment. Come on. You went from being a playoff team to not being able to make the play-in.
Let's be real. Here's what I think you should do. And tell me if this is wrong or just way out there. Hey, this season was a disappointment, and I take complete blame for it. But I'm going to learn from it, and it won't happen again. We'll be better next year. Like, have some responsibility. Instead of making it like, oh, it's just part of the process, you know, we're going to learn from this, take some responsibility. Their offseason was a complete waste of time. Right? They didn't bring in anybody that helped. And that was a major downfall.
Don, how does it feel living in Xanadu?
Oh, no, but I'm just – no, he's not – what is so wrong with taking responsibility when everybody knows that it's mainly your responsibility?
Nobody does it.
Well, then maybe that's a way you can go, because then I'll really believe in you, that I'll know that, hey, he's at least acknowledging he made a mistake and he's taking responsibility for it. Who's going to fault him for that? He's still going to kill him for the moves that he made.
Yeah, there's been – I'm still sort of blown away by the LeBron statements, to be honest.
Well, because he just figures also anything I'll say, you'll believe it.
But Michael, don't you think with the constant debate that he clearly cares about to some degree about Michael versus LeBron, those statements were killer in that argument. It's like the idea of Michael Jordan uttering the words that this season could be viewed as successful would be impossible. It was not a good play, in my opinion.
Stephen A. told me when I saw him last Sunday, the difference between LeBron and, like, Kobe or Michael, LeBron wants to be liked by everybody, so he doesn't want to rattle any cages.
Yeah, Kobe and Michael cared about winning, that was it.
They couldn't care if you liked them or not. In fact, I think they enjoyed if you hated them.
Yeah, it really is the difference. And we've said that many times, that the thing that makes LeBron a worse ball player than Michael is what makes him a better human. I think that's possible. I think he's and by the way, not only do I think he likes being liked, but I also think he enjoys other parts of his life. You know, he actually enjoys life even if his team's losing, which guys like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, there was no enjoying life if your team's not winning. But, good news. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, Don. Let's just say he was consumed with winning the way Michael was.
Jordan was. Got it.
Would he have won more? Would he have more titles? Is that the only difference, or is it just circumstances? Lose to Dallas because he didn't want it as bad as Michael did?
It probably not, but it could be inferred.
Well, it's certainly inferred, but I just wonder if he did treat it like Michael did, whether he would be perfect the way Michael was.
It's an interesting thought.
Or have a couple more championships than he has.
Don, I should say, good news for you. Tiger Woods has committed to playing the Pro-Am in Ireland ahead of the Open Championship. The event takes place July 4th and 5th. Benefits charities in Ireland.
Where is the I'm way better than you tournament being held this year?
No, I'm glad you asked. The 150th Open Championship will be held at St. Andrews in Scotland.
Just a stone's throw away from Ireland, so he'll probably just stay out there, right?
Let's see, it's 10 days before, so why not, right?
That's his favorite course, he said.
St. Andrews?
Yep. Because that's where golf was invented. That's why Don hates it.
One nice story.
Really?
Ian Rappaport was on Pat McAfee's show earlier and said that Odell's off-season surgery corrected a previously bad surgery from a couple years ago, and the word is that the expectation is he will be healthier coming out of this surgery than he has been since the last one.
That's good news for Odell,
because that was such a sad moment in the Super Bowl. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday evening. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, Michael.
No, sorry, I forgot to tell you guys something. ENN is sponsored by our dear friends at Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to get a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. Sorry.
See everybody. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.